Support for NPR comes from ADP. Say you're in HR and a solar flare adds an extra hour to each day. How would this impact business? ADP designs forward-thinking solutions to help your business take on the next anything. ADP, always designing for people.
In the fun, genre-mashing action comedy, Polite Society, Rhea is a teen who freaks out when her beloved older sister, Lena, suddenly gets engaged to a wealthy doctor. Rhea's determined to sabotage the wedding and enlists her best friends to help her. The movie is the feature debut of Neda Manzoor, who created the acclaimed series We Are Lady Parts. And like that show, it's a sharp yet loving exploration of sisterhood, though with a bit more fighting and stunts. I'm Aisha Harris, and today we're talking about Polite Society on Pop Culture Happy Hour from NPR. Joining me today is NPR producer Mallory Yu. Welcome back, Mallory.
Hey, Aisha.
Also with us is New York Times food reporter and author of the best-selling cookbook Indianish, Priya Krishna. Hey, Priya, welcome back to you too.
Hi, thank you so much.
And rounding out our panel is Vulture TV critic Roxana Haddadi. Welcome back to you too, Roxana. It's great to have you all here.
Thank you.
I'm very excited to talk about this with you all. This was one of my favorite things at Sundance this year, earlier this year. So I'm very excited. So Polite Society stars Priya Kansara as Rhea Khan, a spunky teen who aspires to be a movie stunt woman. She's very close with her supportive older sister, Lena, played by Ritu Arya. But Lena is kind of at a crossroads in life. She's dropped out of art school and still lives at home. Rhea is outraged when Lena begins dating and then quickly becomes engaged to a wealthy young doctor named Salim. He's played by Akshay Khanna. Polite Society was written and directed by Neda Manzoor and is in theaters now. Priya, let's start with you. What are your initial thoughts on Polite Society?
I could not love this movie more, honestly. I feel like I've been waiting for this movie my entire life. I sort of love the idea of taking these very desi archetypes, the annoying auntie, arranged marriages, weddings, complicated family dynamics. And this movie sort of takes them and extends them to their logical extreme. I absolutely love the way that it does it sort of in this kind of magical realist way where you don't know what is actually happening in reality and what isn't happening. And like, I like cannot say enough about how much Nimra Bucha just like absolutely kills it as Rahila. She is evil auntie embodied. I also loved her in Miss Marvel. She was amazing. I feel like she plays this sort of sinister character so well. I just found the themes in this just like deeply relatable. I have an older sister. My older sister is the person who does not take risks. I am the risk taker. That dynamic I just found so real, so like thoughtfully acted out. I mean, like I love action adventure movies and I love movies that like look at complex family dynamics. So when I say it was kind of a movie that was made for me, I mean it. And the action scenes were amazing, just like absolutely amazing. The Kathak dance sequence that mixes martial arts. I hope that becomes a TikTok dance. It's so good.
Yes. I also love the point you made about the sibling dynamic because it is interesting. I feel like I often think about the older sibling usually being the one who's the risk taker, in part because they're like the first and they're kind of the guinea pig usually. But it is cool to see this sort of reverse where the younger sister is like, come on, be my inspiration in a way. Like I have all this, you know, gumption and spunk and my older sibling is just kind of like not living up to her full potential. So,
and that is totally the dynamic in my family. In fact, my parents saw it last night and they texted me being like, you must see this movie. It's like our family.
I love it. I love it. Roxana, how about you? What are your thoughts?
I also really enjoyed this one. There are a couple of parts of it that don't entirely hang together for me toward the end, but I really enjoyed the hyper-real tone. Edgar Wright's best movie, I still think, is Scott Pilgrim. And this movie had so much of that energy of, yes, we're in reality and people are going to art school. People are discussing the validity of arranged marriages. But we're also going to have this like drag out sisterly fight sequence in the middle of the film where they destroy their bedrooms.
With a flat iron, involving a flat iron.
Yeah, so good.
Yeah, and their parents roll their eyes at their antics. Like, I love that sort of balance of tone. And We Are Lady Parts, Netta Manzor's previous comedy short that became a series, which you can watch on Peacock, also did that really well. And Netta has talked about how, like, the sibling dynamic of this film was inspired by her relationship with her own older sister, who was the risk taker, who was the rebel. And I think potential is such an interesting word to use here, because I'm Iranian American. Our cultures are not, I'm not going to say they're the same, because I sort of dislike that flattening overall of various people's ethnicities. But there are commonalities in that sense of, like, live up to your potential. And that's usually something that comes from your parents. So it's interesting to see this film twist that and say, well, when you're siblings and you love each other, like, what do you want for each other? What's the best thing?
Yeah.
If someone else, like, gives up on their dreams, what does that mean about the validity of yours? So I liked that we're having these, like, very nuanced sort of conversations while we're also doing these crazy fight sequences that involve flat irons and picture frames and wedding dresses.
Busting through walls.
Yeah, I think it's a fun time.
Yes, yes. Awesome. Mallory, tell us, how do you feel?
Like everyone else, I loved this movie. I had so much fun. I was just like a giddy teenager while I was watching it again. Priya Kansara, who plays Rhea, just has the most expressive, moldable face. Like, even when she was in the background and other characters were interacting, I couldn't stop looking at the expressions that she was pulling, like her little frowns. Everything about the way that she embodied Rhea was so fun and charming, and I want her to be in everything now. I loved, like, every martial arts sequence, and I especially loved how they were, like, delineated by, like, Khan versus X. Yes. For me, I think the reason why I loved this movie so much is that it felt very much like a spiritual successor to Bend It Like Beckham, which was, like, my girl power teen movie. I was playing soccer at the time, so we, like, imitated all the Bend It Like Beckham characters. But Polite Society is able to run where Bend It Like Beckham was only walking. Like, there's no white protagonist in this movie. There's a white character, but she's kind of a side character. All the main characters are brown. Rhea doesn't have a love interest, which I also really appreciated.
Yeah.
She goes to martial arts classes, and she has that support from her parents. And she's told she can't be a stuntwoman, like, because she's too small or scrawny. And it's not because she's a girl. It was really deliberately sidestepping the trope of, like, the overbearing, domineering immigrant parent and that kind of relationship and dynamic, while also kind of giving us that, like, mirror image of what that could look like. I could see this movie becoming some adolescent girl's whole personality, and that makes me really happy.
Yeah, I love the point you made about Bend It Like Beckham, because I also thought of that as well. But also, just like you said, the parents aren't trying to keep Rhea from doing what she wants to do. In fact, the parents, especially Fatima, her mom, is really quirky and funny and weird. Shobhu Kapoor's delivery is just kind of spot on. I love it.
So good.
It was great to see, like, a mom who is kind of hip with it. Like, she's not kind of this stuffy parent who, she actually is invested in her daughters and she cares about their happiness. I also like that this film kind of challenges Rhea's assertion of her feminist stance, because she's very much like rah-rah, rail against the patriarchy. That is largely what is driving her desire to keep Lena from getting married. She's like, you're not marrying for love, and you're also, like, not concerned about your career anymore. Like, what are you doing? You know, she is that kid who, the first time they read any sort of, like, feminist piece of work, then it becomes, like Mallory said, their whole personality. It's like, and the fact that the movie challenges that, but doesn't put it down. Like, she's not going to be discouraged from being a feminist, because it is a very feminist movie, however you want to define that. But it's also saying, you know, sometimes you need to dial it back, or you need to, like, there's more nuance here than just, you know, men are trying to ruin your dreams. Like, it's not that cut and dry. And Rhea is such a perfect sort of encapsulation of that feeling. And the way that kind of brushes up against her sister. It's just really fascinating to see. And I don't know if I've seen something like that in a film before. So I really love that. And I also love that it's a silly movie. Like, there's a scene where, like, her worst nightmare, Rhea's worst nightmare, is getting waxed. And she's like...
That is a perfect scene. Literally, oh my God, perfect.
So brilliant. So perfect. Where Raheela, the mother-in-law, she's like, we're going to have a spa day and you're going to get waxed. And then, like, meanwhile, Raheela's giving this, like, villain speech while she's sitting there.
Like a James Bond torture sequence.
Yes.
Set to waxing.
Yes. So, yeah. Like, I just really love that. I think it's just so fun. So I'm going to admit this. I still haven't seen We Are Lady Parts.
No.
And I know I need to. Believe me, it is on my list. But, you know, in what ways do you find that it's kind of speaking to that same sensibility that Manzor is showing in that show? Like, what ways does this kind of show up in polite society for you?
Well, I mean, We Are Lady Parts is about a all-Muslim girl punk group. There is a little bit of that conservative parents, conservative community thing that polite society does away with a little bit. But ultimately, what that series is trying to figure out is, again, that question of potential and, like, how do your dreams align with maybe what others want from you? How do you figure out what you actually want? I mean, Rhea is incredibly angry that Lena has dropped out of art school. But Lena herself says at some point, I don't know if I want to be an artist.
Yeah.
I don't know if I'm good enough. I love that we're sort of asking these questions because I think maybe all of us have heard, you know, like, if you do what you love, you never work a day in your life.
Oh, I've definitely heard that.
You know, like that overlap between, like, your dreams and your passions and art and humanities, creatives and all that stuff. Like, there is a sense that might not be tenable. You know, coming from an immigrant family, I lived that sense, you know, and having to advocate for what you love and what you care about with the question of financial insecurity. So I think both the projects sort of have that grounding. And also put through, yes, like the first gen immigrant lens of how do you balance individuality and community.
I loved We Are Lady Parts. I thought it was so fun. I loved seeing Desi characters get to have just that range and complexity that you don't often see. I will say I liked Polite Society so much better. It almost feels like,
oh, wow.
It felt like an evolution of the show to me that was more bold, more risk-taking, just like a little bit more delicious. It felt a little bit like the director felt like she could kind of go no holds bar with this. She proved herself with that show and she got to maybe take more risks with this movie. But I love both, but I liked this significantly better.
I think what I will always advocate for with TV is just that you spend more time with the characters.
Yeah.
And I also really admire what that series does in terms of looking at different ways that someone can consider themselves Muslim. And especially as a Muslim woman in an immigrant community, how do you filter your faith through that? So as the TV critic, I have to choose the TV project. But you could absolutely watch all of We Are Lady Parts on like a Saturday and go see Polite Society on a Sunday. And that would be a dream weekend.
Yeah. Mallory, I know you mentioned earlier, we've talked a little bit about Bend It Like Beckham, but Bend It Like Beckham was 20 plus years ago at this point, which is
literally 20. It's the 20th anniversary this year.
Oh, wow. It's interesting to me to think about how long it's been and where we have this sort of filmmaker who's able to not just work in like one genre, but is able to work within multiple modes and genres. Mm-hmm. I'm curious, you know, what you think about how she handles the tone of these things. I know we're not going to get into too specifics about the ending, but there is sort of a reveal that kind of sets the tone for the rest of the last third of the film. I would love to get a little bit more of a sense of how that played for you in terms of tone and just, you know, overall resolution of the conflict at the center of this film.
I was kind of shocked at how easy the transitions felt between these like hyper intense fight sequences and like sisters talking about sister things and like mom scolding daughter. You know, I sort of felt like it was going to be more jarring, but it never felt jarring. It always felt like a real skill of filmmaking to be able to like make these action sequences just like weave in and out of the movie in between these really like tender everyday moments. I just thought the genre bending was done so well.
I agree. I think part of it is that Nida Manzoor just loves all of these genres. Like, you can tell that her love for, like, Jackie Chan movies is built into her personality, and that she has a real affection for her characters. So putting them into this outrageous situation, the reason why for me it worked so well is because every reaction that Rhea has, I understood as a girl, as an like first gen immigrant kid. I got her like rage and her frustration. The reveal at the end, I really enjoyed because I love an absurd reveal. It propelled the movie forward in a way, because by that point in the movie, I was starting to get a little like, can this film sustain itself like this for much longer? Mm. I don't think it would have worked nearly as well without Nimra Bucha just smirking imperiously through the whole thing. Yeah. The way they set her up as a villain initially is that she's this like imperious queen bee. She has money. She's got a handsome son. She's admired by the women in her community. The way that her character motivation is revealed was really satisfying to me, because I have seen and read and heard a lot of stories about parental expectations for their progeny and what that means for them. I thought that was a really smart way to kind of talk about this dynamic that we see played out in maybe less absurd ways.
I also love an absurd reveal. But I think the film then just sort of ends. Mm. There was a little bit more that I would have liked to sort of dive into the ramifications of what that reveal is. It sort of felt like the film goes on this genre tangent and then remembers that it's a story about the sisters and then sort of like pivots to get back to that place. I almost wanted 5 to 7 more minutes to flesh that out a little bit more. But at the same time, I mean, the chemistry between these two actresses is so special. They so clearly really enjoy each other. I was able to interview them both, and the affection is really genuine, and it's just really heartfelt. So I also think the clarity of that relationship for me sort of excused a little bit of the missteps, I thought, in the third act.
I will say, as a counterpoint to that, I thought the third act, the last like 25 minutes of the movie, are you are just like running towards the end. And then the movie sort of ends, and I also was like, I want to know more. I have more questions. But maybe it was an intentional choice on the director's part to sort of leave us with these unanswered questions and to sort of not neatly tie up all of these threads. But like, I really loved the last act of the movie. Like, the absurd reveal leading into like everything that happens after that for me was just so much fun.
Yeah. There's just a throwing everything at the wall sort of aspect to it that I really admire, and you often get with, you know, a director's first time film. I think even if it might be a little bit abrupt, the ending, I do still think that reveal and then everything else that comes after it just feels really delicious.
Yeah. I also just think that, like, and Roxanne, I'm curious if you feel this way, but like, sometimes as like a Desi person existing in a Desi community, you sort of there are certain people who you wonder about, like, is this person running an evil empire? Like, why is this auntie like this? Why is she so overbearing? Why is she so nosy? What is really happening here? And for the movie to like actually be like, what if something actually was going on, and to like play out that insane scenario, I found just like so thoroughly entertaining. And it felt like it was sort of indulging some of my like deepest, darkest thoughts.
Well, yeah, I mean, the film is definitely operating on two modes, right? It's the surface level of This mansion is so beautiful. Their outfits are so precise. This mother-son relationship is so loving and so kind. And what's underneath all that? So yeah, I totally agree with you that it sort of indulges our most paranoid conspiracy theories about our own communities. And what are they really hiding?
Well, there you have it. Polite society indulging our paranoia in the best way possible. Tell us what you think about Polite Society. You can find us on Facebook at facebook.com/PCHH. And up next, we're going to be talking about what's making us happy this week.
This message comes from NPR sponsor, the official Hacks podcast from Max. Join the creators and showrunners of Hacks as they discuss each episode and speak with the cast and crew about the making of the series. Listen to the official Hacks podcast wherever you get your podcasts. This message comes from NPR sponsor, Homes.com. Homes.com knows having the right agent can make or break your home search. That's why they provide home shoppers with an agent directory that gives you a detailed look at each agent's experience, like the number of closed sales in a specific neighborhood, average price range, and more. It lets you easily connect with all the agents in the area you're searching, so you can find the right agent with the right experience and ultimately the right home for you. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Over the past couple decades, the U.S. has lost about a third of its newspapers, taking thousands of local journalists off their beats. A functioning democracy and functioning local journalism go hand in hand. We're trying to do our part, and that's why we need you to do your part. Make sure that the NPR network stays strong by supporting us at donate.npr.org. And thank you.
I'm Miles Parks. I cover voting and election security for NPR. Across the NPR network, we report rigorously on the forces seeking to disrupt democracy and provide communities with reliable information. It's Public Media Giving Days, the perfect time to stand with the facts by donating now at donate.npr.org. Thank you.
From your car radio to your smart speaker, NPR meets you where you are in a lot of different ways. Now we're in your pocket. Download the NPR app today.
In this country, more than two local newspapers are closing down each week. As news deserts grow, public radio is a lifeline for staying informed. Keep that service strong with a donation to the NPR network at donate.npr.org. And thank you.
And now it's time for our favorite segment of this week and every week, What's Making Us Happy? Priya, let us know, what is making you happy this week?
So this isn't like the most sexy thing to make you happy this week, but as a New Yorker, I feel like there are a lot of things that I'm just uninformed about. And one of those things is like brokers and broker fees.
Oh, God.
And I recently listened to an episode of the Hellgate podcast, and they basically interviewed a broker, and you learn about the history of broker fees, why they exist, should they exist, should they not exist. I feel like if you rent an apartment in New York, it's probably worth a listen. I feel like I don't do a good enough job educating myself on tenant rights and why things are the way they are. And the broker is really funny. She like is sort of like someone I could see myself like meeting at a party, not, you know, not the usual brokers I've dealt with. So yeah, the brokers episode of the Hellgate podcast.
All right. I don't live in New York anymore, so I haven't had to deal with brokers for a while, but man, I'm not sure if they should exist. Not gonna lie.
Even the broker is not sure brokers should exist.
Well, then I like her. She, it sounds like we could be friends.
Okay. Yeah.
All right. Roxana, what is making you happy this week?
I hope that I'm not stepping on Mallory's toes, because what I was going to talk about is Bend It Like Beckham.
Oh, okay. Perfect.
No, go for it, please.
I rewatched. It's on Disney Plus, and it just made me so happy. It really took me back to being a teenager and wondering, like, would I ever get to do what I want to do? The movie just still works so well. The pacing is so good. The humor is so specific. Mm-hmm. You know what? I am not ashamed to say that Jonathan Rhys-Meyers in this movie is an incredibly beautiful man, and I will take a white love interest if he looks like that. And I would also encourage people to watch the rest of Gurinder Chadha's filmography.
Yeah.
Like, we don't talk enough about her work, or also Mira Nair's work, and how important mm-hmm. they were in breaking boundaries for female directors of color, Blinded by the Light is another film that Gurinder Chadha made. It came out about 3 years ago.
So good.
And it was sort of like the male version of Bend It Like Beckham. So good. Totally disappeared. Made very little impact. And it bummed me out because, again, it was hitting that pleasure center part of my brain. Bend It Like Beckham specifically and Gurinder Chadha's filmography at large has been making me happy this week.
Well, thank you so much, Roxana. That's Bend It Like Beckham and it's streaming on Disney Plus. Mallory, let us know, what is making you happy?
So what's making me happy this week is Criterion Collection's starring Michelle Yeoh collection.
Nice.
I think it's
nice.
Pretty obvious why it's bringing me joy because obviously it's Michelle Yeoh kicking ass. I have recently watched the really goofy movie Yes, Madam, which has this like short 80s power lady haircut, and she plays a good cop who is paired up with a bad lady cop from Scotland Yard, and the two of them just kick so much butt across Hong Kong. It's really goofy. And then the heroic trio, which also features Maggie Cheung and Anita Mui. The three leads have to get together to fight an evil eunuch who lives underneath the city. And I should warn people listening that it can get pretty dark, but it's also just a genuine joy to watch Michelle Yeoh square up against and with Maggie Cheung and Anita Mui, these like icons of Hong Kong movies. I'd also be remiss not to mention Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon, which is, of course, a jewel. So that's the Criterion Collection's starring Michelle Yeoh playlist. It features movies like Yes, Madam, The Heroic Trio, and Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon.
I'm so glad you recommended that. I've been making my way through that as well. And Yes, Madam, yes. So thank you so much for that recommendation. Well, speaking of dark, I've been rewatching Review, the great TV series that aired on Comedy Central. It was based off an Australian TV series, and this version stars Andy Daly as Forrest McNeil, who's this like overly enthusiastic and pretty dim critic who sets out to review basically all aspects of life. And basically the setup is it's like a mockumentary style. He has a co-host named AJ Gibbs, who's played by the delightful Megan Stevenson, who's manages to be both like bubbly and deadpan as she announces Forrest's new prompts. And so viewers, and I put viewers in air quotes because these are obviously actors, but they, you know, ask him to try out things like, what is it like to get addicted to drugs or sleep with a celebrity or experience road rage? He will not do something, no matter what it is. As the show progresses, you have to kind of watch it in order because there's threads that move along. He gets divorced because one of the prompts is, what is it like to get divorced? And then like his ex-wife pops up from time to time and is really angry with him. And it is so funny. And I think what I love is that it's a sort of very smart satire of the personalities, internet personalities, who will do stupid things for likes and clicks. And it's also just an interesting commentary on white masculinity in so many different ways. So I highly recommend, if you haven't watched it or if you need a rewatch, watch Review. It is on Paramount Plus. I love it. It's so dark. That is what's making me happy this week. And if you want links for what we recommended, plus more recommendations, you should definitely sign up for our newsletter at npr.org/popculturenewsletter. That brings us to the end of our show. Priya Krishna, Mallory Yu, Roxana Haddadi, thanks so much for being here. This was an absolute pleasure.
So fun.
Thank you.
Oh, this was so fun.
This episode was produced by Hafsa Fathima and edited by Mike Katziff. Our supervising producer is Jessica Reedy, and Hello Come In provides our theme music. Thanks so much for listening to Pop Culture Happy Hour from NPR. I'm Aisha Harris, and we'll see you all next week.
Is it possible to engineer our way out of the climate crisis? Some entrepreneurs want to shoot particles into the stratosphere to combat global warming. Experts say regulations on this technology aren't keeping up. The world of solar geoengineering on the latest episode of The Sunday Story from NPR's Up First podcast.
On NPR's Throughline,
we cannot function for 24 hours without cobalt, because it's in our smartphone, our tablet, our laptop. And as a consequence, the lives of the people living in that part of the Congo descended into just a catastrophe.
Find NPR's Throughline wherever you get your podcasts.
There are a lot of issues on voters' minds right now. Six big ones could help decide the election. Guns, reproductive rights, immigration, the economy, healthcare, and the wars overseas. On the Consider This podcast from NPR, we will unpack the debates on these issues and what's at stake. You can listen to NPR's Consider This wherever you get your podcasts.